All right, welcome to Wake. I am so glad you guys are here. This is our second week of the new series, What's the Point? And I am so excited today to share with you guys what is the point of God's Word. Thank you so much. So, if we haven't met, my name is Jonathan. I am the Wake Men's Coordinator, and I am now hanging with you guys, and you will see me hopefully around here a lot more in the coming weeks and in the coming years. So, as we dive in, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get started. So, if you bow your heads with me, Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning that we get to dive in to what your word says about itself, and that you've given us a guidebook that leads us and shows us a path to life and to salvation. And so, Lord, I pray for the words that I speak this morning, that they would not be just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, but that they would be true of your heart and your love, and that I would be able to share your love with these students. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, everyone. I'm going to start off this week, and I have a quick question. I'm wondering, has anyone here ever been on a road trip or in the car with their parents and gotten lost? Any of you guys? I see a couple hands. Some people around here gotten lost in the car. Yep, that's happened to me before. I've been there. I've been driving, and that GPS just leads you to the wrong destination. And so I actually did some research this weekend, and I read a couple stories of some people who followed their GPS, and it landed them in a really, really bad situation. And so I want to read a couple of these to you. The first one in this article I read says, three students visiting from Tokyo set out to drive to North Stradbroke Island. Keyword island. On the Australian coast Thursday morning and mapped out their path on their GPS system. As the three drove their rented Hyundai into the Pacific Ocean, they found the GPS device guiding them from a gravel road into thick mud and into water. They tried to get back to solid ground, but they were forced to abandon their car. Passengers on passing ferries watched in amazement. It told us we could drive down there, Yuzunoda told the local Bayside Bulletin. And we actually have a picture of Yuz's car just drove straight into the Pacific Ocean. Another story I read, a shocked driver is today facing a careless driving charge after his GPS left his BMW teetering on the edge of a cliff. Robert Jones said that he trusted his map and continued to follow its instructions even when it took him down a steep, narrow footpath. He only realized something was wrong when his car hit a fence and came to a stop just inches from a 100-foot drop. The 43-year-old who works as a delivery driver described the incident as a nightmare. He said it kept insisting that the path was a road, even as it was getting narrower and steeper. So I just trusted it. And you can see my man just inches away from driving straight off of that cliff. And this last one actually is my favorite. We don't have a picture, but I do have a headline from the article, so we'll throw it up right here. New Jersey man crashes into house, blames GPS. That is real. So early Saturday morning, where New Road meets Ridge Road in South Brunswick, New Jersey, a driver had a decision to make between a left or a right. And when faced with this choice in the dark and foggy early morning hours, the motorist told police he followed his GPS. The driver went straight, said Captain James Ryan, a police spokesman. The driver not only missed the end of the road, but also went through the stop sign, traveling 100 feet before hitting the house. The driver's wife and 13-year-old daughter were not wearing seatbelts and were seriously injured. So, shameless plug, wear your seatbelt and know that your GPS can't always be trusted. And so why do I share those stories with you on a morning as we are talking about God's Word? And I want to make the case to you guys that in the same way that those people blindly trusted their GPS and it led them into dangerous or really harmful situations, our natural tendency is to trust our hearts. And in our own flesh, we try to do everything by our own strength, and ultimately that leads to death. And the first point today, as we're talking about what's the point of God's word, is that we are misled. We are misled. And I want to take you to Scripture, and I want to show you where we see that in God's Word. So in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air. And the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." And specifically in verse 1, I want to see and highlight that when you followed the ways of this world, that our natural tendency is to follow the ways of this world. And we see that even in the garden with Adam and Eve, as they had the choice to walk with God and be in right relationship with him, but instead they chose pride and position, and they separated themselves from a holy and perfect God because we just choose in our brokenness pride and position over God. And this leads us into a metaphorical Pacific Ocean. Alone, anxious, without direction, longing for purpose. And so we try to find it, but we look for it in all the wrong places. We put something on our GPS and we follow it, and it's something the world tells us that we can find life in it. Whether it's sports, grades, being the funny guy, whether it's accolades, money, material items, whatever that thing is for you, that the idol that you place on your heart, that is the GPS that you follow. Whatever motivates your actions and your thoughts, that's the GPS that you are following. And our natural tendency with a broken heart will continually lead us either off a cliff or in a metaphorical Pacific Ocean. And to take you back to the words of Scripture, in Ephesians 2, as you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. And so we have this need that we're broken and we chase the things of this world. And if that were it, if that was the only point that I was going to give you guys today, that would be a pretty terrible message and pretty depressing. But it's not, because God has given us his word. And so our second point today is that we have a map. We have a map. That should be some of the best news that you've ever heard in your entire life, that I am broken and that I need a savior, and that in my brokenness, my heart leads me down a broken path, but I have a map. So everyone on the count of three, I want you to say, we have a map. 1, 2, 3, we have a map. One more time, louder. 1, 2, 3.
We have a map.
We have a map, guys. Like, that shouldn't just be something, to bring you guys back in, that shouldn't just be something that we hear and we know, but it should be incredibly encouraging news that God has given us his word so that in it we might see our sin and know the path to salvation. We have a map to be in right relationship with God. And so if you walk out of here today and all you hear is that we have a map, that's awesome. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't actually follow that map. If you have the correct GPS, but it just sits on your nightstand and you only pick it up on Sundays and Wednesdays, it does you no good to have all the right answers if you don't actually follow it. And to illustrate this point, I actually want to play a game with you guys. Flip-tac-toe was pretty fun, but I think that this game is a little more fun. And so I'm going to play this game with you guys, and we're going to start on the count of three, okay? 1, 2, 3. We have a map, that's right. Was that not a super fun game? It wasn't that great. Why was it not a fun game? We didn't know how to play. That is exactly right. You had no instructions and no rules for how to play that game. And in the same way, God designed us to crave and to operate inside of boundaries and with rules. And so he gave us a map. You guys were excited because we were going to play a game, but without rules, it was meaningless. And there was no joy found in it. So the third point I want to leave you guys with is not only that we have a map, but we now have a mission. That God's word has given us a mission. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You've probably heard this scripture before. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture equips us to know God's word and to know his will and to know his mission. And so what is the so that in your life? If the Bible is true, it should affect blank. Fill in the blank. If the Bible is true, it should affect every good work, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If the Bible is true, it should change everything. Everything? Seriously, Jonathan? You really mean everything? I mean every single part of your life. If the Bible is true, if all scripture is God-breathed, it should change the way that we talk to our parents, we speak, we make jokes to our friends, the way we confess our sin, own it when we get it wrong. It should change what the content we watch or the things that we put into our minds, what we look at on social media, the shows that we watch. It should change everything. Those are just to name a few. Because ultimately, people say what they think, but they do what they believe. And I can say that I think the Bible is true all day long. I can say I have the correct map and I know what it is, but if my actions don't change and my life doesn't reflect it, then it means nothing to me. Because I've got something else on the throne of my heart that leads me and guides me through life every single day. Whether it's an idol or God's word. And I want to paint this picture to you with something we see specifically in Scripture. So if you have a Bible, Jeremiah 17 is where I want to take us. And Jeremiah 17 paints a picture of two distinct different things. And I'm going to read from starting in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who tries to draw strength from his flesh. Cursed is the man who tries to follow his own GPS, who trusts in his own strength and in his own heart, ends up like this plant, dead, dried up, full of anxiety, full of sadness, no joy. We end up chasing the things of this world, and they leave us just like this dead plant. And the other contrast to that is continuing on in verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. And it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit. Knowing God's word is the only thing that will hold you when hard seasons come. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, because they are like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Look at the stark contrast between these two plants. And this is the picture that Jeremiah paints for us when we trust in the Lord. That we have the opportunity, when we trust in him, to have a life that is marked by more joy and less scars. And if you don't believe me, experience is a great teacher, but it's often a costly one. And it may take you metaphorically driving your car into the Pacific Ocean before you really realize that God's word is true. But my prayer and hope for you today is that you truly listen and hear the words of Scripture and that it would be true of your life, that it wouldn't take you scars, that it wouldn't take you sadness, anxiety, that it wouldn't take you hiding sin to yourself and not sharing it with others, to learn that whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. My prayer is that it wouldn't be true of you, that you have to learn that the hard way. There's another illustration that I've heard before that I think is really, really awesome, and it paints a picture of this steep cliff, and there's a road that winds all the way up to the very top of this cliff. And there's one specific turn on this cliff that's really, really sharp. And cars have to veer really, really hard to make it around this side of the mountain. And time again, cars keep driving off the edge of the cliff. And so there's two ways to save or to help those who continually drive off the cliff. You can either, one, build a hospital at the bottom of the cliff and help those who've crashed and fallen to the bottom, or you can put up a ramp. And so cars would hit that ramp and stay on the road. And God has actually given us both of those things. He's given us his word to give us boundaries, to save us from driving off a cliff, from hurting ourselves. When we walk in the ways of Scripture, we find life. But he's also built a hospital. There is no condemnation for when I do fall and mess up, that God loves you and he cares for you and he's died for all of your sins. And so we don't read his word so that God loves us. He's given us his word because he loves us. He's given it because he wants you to have boundaries and the barriers so that you won't end up hurting and broken. But God has also saved us. He's built a hospital at the bottom of the cliff. And so again, I want to make it really clear that we don't read our Bible so that God will love us. We read our Bible because God loves us, and it drives our heart and it stirs our affections to love him more. If we know his character, that we would walk with him in the same way that you spend time with your friends, or you spend time on video games or social media and you get really, really good at knowing the latest TikTok trend or really good at Fortnite, whatever it may be, that you would spend time with God and that you would know him. And you become really good at counseling others and sharing his word with those around you. And you would have a life marked by the things of his word. Because again, when we follow his word, it leads us to a life that is marked by more joy and less scars. We did nothing to earn this love, and we can't earn it. The more we read our Bible, the more we go to church, the more we pray. As we go through this series, it's going to sound like a lot of things to do. And if I do all these things, then God will love me, but that is not the truth. God loves us, and because he loves us, he has given us the church. He's given us his word. And next week, you're going to hear about how he's given us the opportunity to speak and sit with him in prayer. And so, guys, the offer is yours. We are misled, but we have a map and we have a mission. And so, what is the point of God's word? It shows us that we are misled, that we have a map to salvation, and it gives us our mission for daily life. And my prayer is that that would be true of your hearts today. You'd be motivated by the correct GPS and that you wouldn't end up driving off of a metaphorical cliff. So guys, in that, I'm gonna close and let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you love us and that you loved us so much. Every single person in this room hearing my words, you loved, because you loved the entire world so much that you sent your son to die on a cross for us. And if we believe in him, we may have eternal life. and I'm grateful. And I can't even express it enough in words. I'm grateful that you love every single student in this room to do that. Lord, at the very same time, you've given us your word so that we might know how to rightly walk with you and be a light to others. Lord, I pray for the students in this room that they would seek to be a light and have a life marked by you. And I pray that they would understand today that they've been given a map, the correct GPS, that when they walk in it, that they can have an abundant life in you. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.